All dogs and cats, large and small, praise the Lord. All rabbits and hamsters and guinea pigs, praise the Lord. All goldfish, terrapins, and swimming creatures, praise the Lord. All robins, gulls, and singing birds, praise the Lord. All bats and squirrels and foxes, praise the Lord. All horses and cows and sheep, praise the Lord. All lizards and snakes and creeping things, praise the Lord. Every animal in the sky, the sea, and the forest, praise the Lord. And let us gather in our opening prayer. Let us pray together. Hear our humble prayer, O God, for our friends, the animals, especially for animals who are suffering, for animals that are overworked, underfed, and cruelly treated, for all wistful creatures in captivity that beat their wings against bars, for any that are lost or deserted or abused or frightened or hungry, for all that must be put to death. We entreat for them all thy mercy and pity, and for those who deal with them, we ask for a heart of compassion and gentle hands and kindly words. Make us ourselves to be true friends to animals, and so to share the blessings of the merciful. For in mercy we pray, using these words or words more comfortable to us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I don't think we're trespassing, but we're gonna sing it that way even more in a bit, but for story time this morning, I was going to talk not about Rosie. We had a cat just before Rosie. This is our second cat that we've had. Our first cat, Sebastian. I had to ask Allison for another cat carrier because the cat carrier we have is probably about twice the size. Yeah, like the cat that we had, Sebastian, was long, an enormous beast. He was absolutely fantastic. And he didn't much act like a cat. Very similar to Rosie, comfortable sort of with a leash. But our cat, Sebastian, was an amazing guard cat. If anybody entered our home, oftentimes we would go away and ask a friend to stop in. Rosie would hiss and growl, Sebastian would hiss and growl the minute someone would come into the house. Sebastian would just make sure that everything of ours was protected. We had Sebastian for many, many years, and we're blessed that he wonderfully shared life with me in my settlement charge. I was out in Manitoba, and so we were two miserable bachelors. Jennifer was in Winnipeg studying at the time, and we would keep house. He, this ginormous, long cat, and me, this gangly-looking... Anyway, it was wonderful because in my loneliness, I had a friend. It was wonderful because I knew that I wasn't alone. Every time I would come home, I would open the door, and he'd either be sitting there waiting for me, or, like more likely, hiding someplace waiting for me to find him. Sebastian was an amazing friend, and it absolutely broke our hearts when he was sick, and Nahum remembers, because he was around at the time, that we had to put him down. The hardest moment I think I faced in a very long time was holding him, holding Nahum, holding Jen, all of us together, saying goodbye. Because in that rush of emotions of, what was he, 14 years? 13? 13 years. Every little instant came back. Of him peeing on the carpet and hissing at neighbors and all of those, shaking a paw. We managed to train him to shake a paw. All of those moments came back in a flood. And I know that we, and I'll talk about it in the sermon a little bit, we like to pretend that we are the more dominant species. And yet when you share your life with an animal, your life is forever changed. And it is such an amazing gift. And I still today give thanks for Sebastian's life, as well as Rosie, wherever she wandered to.
Our scripture reading today is from Genesis 1, verses 24 to 27, chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And so it was. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man, humankind, in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have a dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. Then the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, and to all the birds of the air, and to every animal of the field. But for the man there was not found a helper as his partner. Thanks be to God for his word.
For those that don't know, the blessing of the animal service is an extension of the feast day for St. Francis of Assisi. Usually this is held in October, but we moved it up when praying the weather was better. I have to talk fast. Anyway, so for those that don't know, St. Francis of Assisi was a saint that lived, I believe, 13th century, and is credited with creating the first manger scene with animals. So St. Francis of Assisi ensured that the animals were a part of that holy time when we celebrate Jesus' birth. This may seem small to some, but it was a huge theological shift in the church, because all of a sudden, it wasn't just for things that walk on two legs. Jesus' birth wasn't just a blessing for human beings. Jesus' blessing was for all the earth. Jesus' coming was a celebration of everything that blesses this earth. The created beings, you and me, those that understand it and those that don't. Those that offer their beds of hay and all those things that we sing about at Christmas time. And so St. Francis of Assisi was acknowledging this connection to the earth that we have. And we have had this connection to pets. This isn't a modern thing for us. They've actually done archaeological evidence and found, I believe, between the year 12,000 and 10,000 BCE, before the Common Era, they found someone buried with a small puppy, a small dog. So 12 to 14,000 years ago, there was an acknowledgement of the relationship between human beings and animals. And of course we know the Egyptian love of cats and the treasuring and the honoring of them as a holy creature. All of our understanding of our integration and our connection with creation is due to some of the passages that Anne shared from Genesis. In that poetic understanding, that dramatic imagining of the creation of the universe, God is seen as creating beings to be with us, partners, in fact, to be with us, fish and birds and all of creation. And the idea in both of the passages, because if you didn't know it before, you know now, there are two creation accounts, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, both being separate and offer different understandings of who and how God works. But both of them tie us to God. Whether you are a wonderful, miserable cat, no, she's not miserable today, she's pretty good today, or a fish, or a bird in the air, or a human being sitting here, we are all connected because we have our origin in God. And we can get into that long discussion about evolution and talk about how, especially in Genesis 2, that we share the same dirt in our bones, in our being, that we do as the animals. We have this common parentage and common source. But it's more than that. What they were trying to get at in telling this story in Genesis 1 and 2 was that we have a theological connection to one another, a theological binding of creation. I know I struggle with it, and I'm not sure how you feel, but I know when I walk down the streets of either Kitchener or Toronto and I see a homeless person, and they have a dog, typically, a lot of the times, and it's amazing that I fight against that need to, that judgmental nature in myself to say, you can't feed yourself, how can you feed another living creature? But as I thought about that connection that we share with our pets and family, and when I think about our common createdness, the homeless and us and all of us have a need for respect and love and unconditional compassion and love and mercy. And animals exhibit that almost more than anyone else. They exhibit a godlike love that is not commonplace in our everyday world. And so, I mean, it's even more appropriate that those who are pushed to the side, pushed to the edges, pushed and forgotten by our society, need to have connection to some other living being. In the same way, I don't know if many of you have read, but they're finding that millennials, that is the now and the next generation of people coming into adulthood, they're turning to pets before relationships, before children, before houses and all that stuff. They have a deep awareness of the impact we've had on the earth. They have a deep awareness of population booms and the way that we're depleting our resources, and have opted to have pets to maintain that connection to creation rather than build and add to the depletion of our resources. This connection that we share is profound and deep, and I want to share a story with you that's a little morbid. So, in a former community that I served, I was thinking about this story of the person in Israel that was buried with their puppy, because in this community I served, I had a funeral once whose family came to me and said they had a most beloved cat, and their most beloved cat was their best friend in all the world. This cat grew old with this gentleman, and the cat itself was between 16 and 17 years and wasn't long for this world. And so as we were preparing to celebrate the life of this man, the family decided that the best way to honor his life was to put the cat with him. And so in the quick turnaround that funerals have, they ran and had the cat put down. And in a moment of both absurdity and grace, as we were closing the casket, they put the cat at the man's feet. And it was both so very strange to me and so very holy. Because all I was thinking was this family running to the vet and getting it put down and having to go through the long story of why they were doing this and how it meant so much to this man to be buried with his pet. And we, as the funeral home staff and the officiants, we're in awe and just baffled by that connection that the family wanted to honor. They knew that that pet would not have survived post this man's death. As I'm sure some of you have seen, when a loved one dies and the pet is left looking for their owner, their friend, their companion. And I will never, ever forget the moments of having to compose myself, because the people didn't want to tell everyone this story. They wanted it to be a holy and sacred moment. And so we mentioned in the service just how sacred that relationship was that he shared. And so we, as a responsibility, as people of faith, as people of hope, we read these scriptures reminding ourselves of the importance of these relationships. And it uses a very key and important word. Whoops. It's all right. Sermon's done. Thank you, Allison. A very key and important word that, especially from Genesis 1, that we need to at least unpack before I finish up. Dominion comes in there about our relationship with creation. It's about having dominion over the fish and the birds and the cats and the dogs and the squirrels and everything. For a time, our culture has walked down a really difficult and dangerous path because we've taken that word dominion to mean power and control. Instead, I offer that dominion means to have responsibility for. And so in our lives, when we have dominion over our pets, it means that I'm ultimately responsible for Rosie, for her health, for her safety, for her well-being, for her enjoyment, for her love, for all of that. Everything that comes to be in her being. Yes, absolutely. And Nam too. But we have that ultimate responsibility relies on us. And I think for a time, as human beings, we've given over some of that or passed over some of that responsibility and assumed power and control and damaged our environment and dramatically impacted the lives of not just pets, but all of God's creatures. And better understanding the scripture means that we take seriously what it means to have dominion over the polar bears being pushed out of Churchill and all of those things that have a direct impact on or have been impacted by human beings' place in this earth. And so as we, on this Blessing of the Pet Sunday, give thanks for the life that fills our lives, we know that God calls us to a deeper and more powerful relationship with those beings that we share this earth with. And so I want to share just a prayer as we move into the blessing. This is a Franciscan prayer from the Franciscan brothers, St. Francis of Assisi. And so let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord God, maker of all living creatures. On the fifth and sixth days of creation, you called forth fish in the sea, birds in the air, and animals on the land. You inspired St. Francis to call all animals brothers and sisters. We ask you to bless all of these animals here today, the ones with us and the ones surrounding us. By the power of your love, enable them to live according to your plan. May we always praise you for your beauty in creation. For you, blessed are God, for you are blessed as you bless all the creatures which surround us. Amen.